This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome, welcome, welcome to ENN on Michael's favorite day. Mine too, a Thursday. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
I can't stand magicians.
And then I'd like to say, if I can, good evening to Don.
Get off my phone!
You know, every time, remember we used to have the holiday get-togethers at the station? And they try to make it special and have the guy come around and do tricks. When he would come near me, I would just, like, walk away.
It was, who, was that a Tim thing?
Let's just be honest. Tim wants to, you know, add little things
but
to
I don't
the...
Know, that, it was a terrible thing.
You know why? I'm going to tell you why it bothers me, Don. I don't like to not know how things work. So, okay, you just fooled me. All right, now tell me. But a magician can't tell you. So then what's the use?
Unbelievable, really.
What is?
That's why it bothers him. Not that it's irritating.
No.
You're trying to have a conversation.
Oh, yeah.
That, too. I mean, there's a lot of aspects to it.
I understand that. I think he was a bit of a nudge, okay?
Yeah.
But it bothers you because you don't like things that you can't understand.
Well, right. That's strange.
So I like one of the shows that we DVR and we watch is Penn and Teller's Fool Us, right? Where a magician goes and performs something, and then Penn and Teller have to guess how they do it. And if they can't guess it, they get a prize, and then they get to go on tour with them, which is a cool thing. Post-pandemic, I guess. And it baffles me. Like, I sometimes I see magic and I think that, like, in league with Satan's on the table. Like, I can't figure out how
right.
they do it. But I enjoy it. It's fun. That's what kind of makes it fun, that they're
so
able
you like to
fool
be,
me like that.
You like to be in the dark.
Oh, my God.
You like to not know how things work.
Because you know what, Michael? That rocket went to the space station last week.
Yeah.
I watched a little bit of that. I don't understand how they did it. I still enjoy it. I think it's cool that we go to space. So you don't like that because you can't understand how
No. I can understand because, I mean, you can actually read up on it. And if you have the mental acuity.
But you don't.
Understand, I don't want to know how you picked the ace out of, I want to know how you got the ace out of the deck. I want to know. I don't want to just simply look like a simp that I can't figure out what you're doing.
Well, listen, Don, we're going down a weird place here. Listen,
yeah.
The bottom line is, it was a strange party thing because it was a small room, okay? And
the guy always brought around his wife, too.
And he's just wandering, like, hey, want a magic trick? And I'd be kind of like, no.
No.
I don't. That was my problem.
That's logical.
Right. Michael's part, ignore it. You're talking to a freak, okay?
I think he brought his wife just to kind of show you, yes, there are women that are interested in it.
Well, no. Let me tell you right now. I mean, good magicians do quite well. We know that.
Right.
All right? My boy, Dan White is phenomenal. There are some great magicians out there. Now, one great magician with the basketball.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, what? You know,
he's so good at this.
Klay Thompson. And
I would pay David Copperfield to make Peter disappear.
And I thought he was going to say something nice. I really... Don, I thought for a moment he was going to say, I'd pay David Copperfield to fix Klay Thompson's injury. Magically. But no, it was about insulting me.
Especially when you know he has the power to make you disappear.
So let's hear from Stephen A. About just how devastating this Klay Thompson injury is for the Warriors.
This is nightmarish. This is nightmarish. All championship hopes are out the window. You need both. You can't have Klay without Steph. You can't have Steph without Klay and talk championship. You can talk playoffs. You can talk excitement. You can talk box office appeal. But you can't talk championship having one without the other. You need both of them.
I don't disagree unless they figure something else out. I mean, if they learn that the kid they drafted, Wiseman, yesterday, was a 7'1", if they find out that, you know, he changes the way they play, and then they have some inside-out game with a big man and Steph, and all of a sudden they're a different team?
Mm.
Okay.
I don't think that. I mean, Wiseman has an upside, but he played three games in college, so I don't think that's going to happen.
Three games in college. Well, by the obviously thing, he can do something.
Well, he's got a great upside, but I don't think he's going to change their fortunes this year. That's what I'm saying. Especially in a league where, you know, they've kind of outlawed centers.
But that's what's so fascinating about the pick.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a gamble.
Remember, this pick that the Golden State had yesterday, that number two pick, that was like a pick they planned for, basically. Last year was a scrapped season. They were absolutely nothing. There was no hope. It was dead as dead can be. And this was the payoff, was that you get this pick. So they obviously have high hopes. Now,
you know what Steve Kerr said before the season, right? Sniff him.
Sniff him dead. I don't remember.
You just love Tiger. Sniff him. Sniff him dead.
I would have told him that doesn't make sense.
No, it makes all the sense in the world.
So,
well, I wanted to hear Stephen A., his take on the Knicks pick. That was interesting. Did you hear that?
I saw that last night.
A little off the deep end, no?
He was very disappointed in the Knicks not getting a guard.
Kind of Tiger Woods-ish, if you ask me.
What do you mean?
Well, somebody that's in the business, that's really invested in just one.
I think that's an act. Just like it's an act how much he hates the Cowboys. It's an act.
By the way, I feel the same way. I don't think he cares.
I think he's real. Stephen A. knows what to care about.
That's right. I think Stephen A. cares about, he's rooting for one team. You know what the name of that team is?
The Stephen A. Smith team.
That's correct. And guess what?
Very well.
They're 70.
Very well.
And guess what? They win 73 games every year. Check the bank account, baby. 73-9 again. I'm glad you brought up the New York Knicks. And everyone was, a lot of people were talking about Obi Toppin, their first round pick. But, Michael, let's learn a little bit more about Emmanuel Quickley, shall we?
I love the name.
He played for Coach Cal, and man, needless to say, Calipari feels very strongly about his kid.
So, Emmanuel Quickley, player of the year in our league. Didn't start the first five or six games because I was trying to get a three-guard rotation. And you know what? I was out of my mind. Put him in the rotation and said, no, you're a starter. And what'd we do? We win the league by three games, and he is player of the year in our league. He's going to the Knicks in the first round. And let me tell you something. He'll stretch the court. He's a culture, faith-driven. This kid is going to get so much better. He could play on the ball, off the ball. The Knicks got something. The Knicks got something. Can't wait to watch him play.
Yeah, you know one thing that I think it might have been Don who said in the last segment. Well, what do you expect him to say about his player? No. These guys are already picked. He doesn't have to sell them anymore. And just take a look at the guys from Kentucky that were under Calipari that have excelled. I mean, did you think Tyler Hero was going to be as good as he was? He turned out to be pretty good. Gilgeous Alexander, he turned out to be pretty good. Even Cal said in the interview yesterday, he's come quicker than we thought. Cal's not going to sell players after they're out of his program. It doesn't do him any good.
Well, I think he cares about these kids.
I think he does, but he's already been picked, is what I'm saying, Don. So I think he's giving you his honest feelings on the kid.
Yeah, but I do think sometimes honest feelings can be a little biased because you're rooting for that player, and maybe, you know, you want that player to do well. So you could be guilty sometimes of exaggerating something. But
you think there's some sniff them here?
No. But what I'm saying is normally I feel that way whenever we talk to the former coach. But I think in this case, he was so specific with so many different things. I mean, he's talking about a player of the year in that league. Talking about a player that he didn't believe in early on, and then he became a starter. Those are facts, right? So,
Jack,
I think there's a little bit more to it than just the typical praise from his former coach.
Now, let's stay Knicks for a second. The Knicks have created $40 million in salary cap space with a roster purge. So, RJ, do you have like any sad music? Like in the arms of an angel. Today, the New York Knicks say farewell to beloved members of the Knickerbocker community. Where do we start with Elfrid Payton? We were just getting to know you. So long, friend. Taj Gibson, always picture you as number, whatever number you were while you were here. Wayne Ellington, whose jersey, I believe, had a question mark on it. He is now gone as well. Bobby Portis, whose number will hang in the rafters of a high school gym unrelated to the Knicks, also gone. And of course, my two favorite players, Kenny Wooten and his friend, Theo Pinson. If I was to play a game with you, Don, called New York Knick or MTA Employee,
right?
Kenny Wooten and Theo Pinson, what do you say?
You know, I was going to say that they all shared a last name with somebody better than them.
Like Bobby Portis, Clinton Portis.
Clinton Portis.
Sure.
And who was the first one?
Wayne Ellington, Duke Ellington.
Duke Ellington. I was thinking that. Go ahead.
Alfred Payton, Gary Payton.
Gary Payton. Or Walter Payton. Either one.
Taj Gibson, Debbie Gibson.
Debbie Gibson, Kirk Gibson, Bob Gibson.
Kenny Wooten.
The great defensive back for the Giants, Tito Wooten.
And Theo Pinson.
Jada Pinson.
Jada?
I think Jada Pinson Smith.
You're thinking about Veda Pinson.
Veda, sorry. I got confused between, but still, it's better than. And no, not to disparage, these are NBA players. I'm just saying that every time you mentioned the last name, I thought of somebody else.
Andrew, tell me something about Theo Pinson right now.
He was good at North Carolina in college.
There you go.
Well, there you go. See, that's why Andrew's Andrew.
And what about Kenny Wooten?
Yeah, I can't help you with that one. I'm sorry.
Did he play basketball, though?
He did play basketball.
All right.
Did you remember Tito Wooten from the Giants?
I certainly do, yeah. Sure.
God, it's great hearing Andrew. Andrew, we heard from you earlier accidentally off the air, I believe. All
no,
three of us.
That's all right.
Did you hear that?
Oh, still never got any kind of...
No.
Just take the L.
Yeah, he said...
Just take the L.
Nah, that's all right. And just moved on.
Wow. Well, I mean, let's lift the curtain just a
no,
little
I don't
bit.
Think you should.
Nope.
No, I want to lift it a little bit, a little bit. So, All right, maybe it should. No, Andrew put Knicks first round draft choice, Obi Toppin, on hold. And the kid's still on hold. Andrew cannot get him off hold, so that's why Andrew was upset.
Wait, is that what happened?
Yeah, he's still on hold.
Right
he's been
now?
On hold for 3 hours.
It's been 3 hours, poor
3 hours. Hey, buddy, hey. Kid.
Yeah, but a lot of commitment from him to sit on hold for this long.
Well, he's somebody that can say that he was on the Michael K. Show for the entire 4 hours.
That's really nice. Let's move on. I'd like to if we can. You know what we'll do? Let's do some Tiger Watch.
Tiger Watch.
So, Tiger, how did you play today?
Well, got off to kind of a slow start.
Do you feel like you're back to win at this level?
Yeah, I do, because I just did it.
Now, I don't want to tell you how to do this, RJ, but I think you and I both know that at some point, Tiger Watch is going to include Sniff 'em dead, I think. I think we all know. We all know it has to. So Tiger Woods is going to be playing in the PNC Championship with his son, Charlie.
Wow, that's cool.
11 years old. They pair fathers and sons. It's been a thing they do that happens for the PNC for 25 years. And so Tiger and Charlie getting to play around.
How old is Charlie again. Now?
11.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
I think it's absolutely
fabulous.
That's him.
I was getting attacked on Twitter this morning.
Sure you were.
By all the people that were introduced to me because of the video from earlier in the week.
Mm. Wait, what did you say in the video? That
imagine they've never, ever heard Don's ass.
Well,
and all of a sudden he pops up on your feed and he sniff him.
You just love Tiger. Sniff him. Sniff him dead.
That's the first thing they've
That's
ever
the
heard.
The first thing it. You ever experienced.
You it's know what a great. I also think? It's like one of the boy. Highlights of my career is a couple of years ago when we were at Citi Field, and Bob Costas was telling me how he gets like alerts on his phone from every time I ran because like Yahoo will pick it up and stuff. So I kept thinking to myself, it was Bob Costas probably having breakfast, listening to me screaming, "Sniff him dead." That's. And yet he still talks to me.
Wait, so what were people saying? What were people saying to you? These
that I'm trying to find them here because it was a bunch of people this morning like that I'm going to rip this because I can't find them.
That you would rip Tiger playing with his son?
Yeah, because I hate Tiger Woods, which, again, not if true. You listen to it, that's not what I was not attacking Tiger Woods. And so I wonder what Don's take's going to be on this, or ripping Tiger for this. I think it's a tremendous story, getting to play golf with his son. I think that's so cool. Listen, am I a fan of Tiger Woods? No, because I'm not a fan of golf, but I appreciate his game. People completely misread that rant.
I hope they both wear the same Nike
specifically
stuff.
With saying that Tiger is a bad guy or the Tiger's not. People were saying, you wish you had the skill of Tiger Woods at anything. I didn't attack Tiger.
They don't. You know, it's funny. They see a man screaming, frothing at the mouth, saying, sniff him dead. And it's like they don't even listen to the rest.
You just love Tiger. Sniff him. Sniff him dead.
Because that's the thing that's gone viral, Don. You just love Tiger. So people are going to think you hate Tiger. So they right. didn't listen to it in its entirety.
Right.
But if they did listen to...
But they didn't.
No, I think that was sent out was the entirety of the rant. In which at no time did I say anything disparaging. I was wishing him to retire just so these people would stop.
Now, but here's the question.
I never attacked him in any of the stuff that was even sent out.
But even though, Don, you know I'm on your side. I agree. I know how you feel. You're not dissing Tiger. You're dissing people like me. But if you were screaming like you were frothing, looking like a lunatic, sniff him dead, and then you turned like a sitcom the other direction, and Tiger just walked up and said, hey, Don. It would still be hard to explain why you were just screaming, sniff him dead.
I think I'd sit him down and explain to him everything that I meant.
And he might say, you know what, I agree. People are a bit over the top.
He probably wonders.
I also, I think if you listen to the entire thing, you do have to question sniff him dead.
Go ahead.
It's out there. It doesn't quite make much sense.
Well, but remember, he's also threatened to smack my face dead.
But that made sense. But sniff him dead. How do you...
It's amazing the narrative that you just want to hold on to, and you don't listen. You don't have conversation. You really don't. You don't.
You know, why am I always the bad guy?
You know what? Break it up.
You always are.
You two break it up for a second. We've talked a lot about this rant, but a lot of people didn't hear it. Let's go back earlier in the week. It's probably the moment of the week, and let's hear Don going off on people like myself and Greeny, who are Tiger Woods sycophants.
Good people. People that I trust and love. You guys just have a crush on Tiger. It's inhuman, it's unhealthy, and it's sick. Well, so I hope Tiger, on his own terms, decides, you know what? I'm done with golf. I'm going to go do something else the rest of my life, and then you're going to have nothing. Nothing. All of a sudden, not talking about how the Masters is the true star of television and how golf is so great because it's so difficult to master and how it's really so great I can walk and get exercise. No, you just love Tiger. Sniff him. Sniff him dead. I'm tired of it. Get him out. And you are a fraud for loving the guy. Enough. Enough of it. Please, dear God in heaven above, decide to do something else with your life, Tiger. You've accomplished so much. Just go off so all these people could sit there and cry in their pillow. Tiger's gone. I don't know what to do.
You know what, Don?
It's almost an ode to Tiger if you listen to it.
It's
to retire on your own terms.
No, he's accomplished so much.
Couldn't have been nicer to the guy.
And yet the sad part is, Michael, everyone will only focus on the fact that he said, sniff him dead.
Again,
What do you remember?
Again, I tried. Michael
in Lincoln's
listen,
address, so you remember 47 years ago. That's what sniff him dead is.
It is a lot. You know what I was doing? Just to get back, bring it all full circle.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
To my top five.
Sniff him dead. Sniff him. Sniff him dead.
The scene in Tommy Boy where he's trying to explain to the waitress why he can't make a sale.
He kills the sale.
Because he kills it.
Yep.
Mr. Gorbachev, sniff him.
So
sniff him dead.
I pet it. I massage it.
Right.
That what I'm saying is that, and so I just took it a step further and just like you sniffed it. You're trying to take all of his essence away.
Oh, so
like
you kill him.
If you really love something, you would pet it and you'd sniff it like a child with a great toy. You just want
I sniff bear
this
sometimes.
Is a very
everything
odd
about that person in your body.
This is a very odd homage to Of Mice and Men. We've covered this
all week. Yeah.
So for all those people that just listened to it, you explain to me how I'm going after Tiger. I couldn't have been nicer to the gentleman.
And you said the word gentleman, so
I also love the way, which I didn't catch when he did it, because sometimes I go in and out on Don's rants.
Yeah,
he said he actually spoke to dear God in heaven above. When he does that, he's
I know.
Serious. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, I'm really beginning to just not care for you at all.
me or Peter?
Yeah, he checks out on my rants.
I know. It's not that long. It's very entertaining.
Some of them seem very long.
All right, let's move on.
You know what? I'll never do it again, because I don't want to bother Michael. Forget the fact that they go viral and they actually serve a purpose on this show. But since Michael is bothered by them, you know, we'll break down the Yankees, you know, whatever the rating is for defensive ability, and we'll have fun with that. You know, we'll break down baseball.
Breaking down baseball.
I only talk about the Yankees? Is that what you're saying?
Wow.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Guys, you know what? Let's go to a subject I know we all can agree on, and that's our interest in Joe Judge. Let's hear from Shefty, who on SportsCenter talked about what actually went down between Joe Judge and offensive line coach Mark Colombo.
Dave DeGarmo, the offensive line coach that was appointed to replace Mark Colombo, really was coming in and helping last week. Don't think that sat too well with Mark Colombo, who exchanged some words with the head coach Joe Judge, which ultimately led to his dismissal. You don't usually see an assistant coach replaced at this time of the year. But Joe Judge felt this was the right move to make, to work with an offensive line coach that he's worked with before in New England. Mark Colombo didn't like the way that it was arranged. He made his feelings very well known in front of other people. And like I said, I think that ultimately in the end led to his departure.
And Keyshawn was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, which you can hear every weekday morning out here on 98.7 ESPN, talking about how Joe Judge is taking a page out of the Bill Parcells playbook by getting rid of Colombo.
This is a page taken out of a Bill Parcells book, but it's also sending a message to the rest of the team, the rest of the coaching staff, and to the fan base that I'm not putting up with any nonsense. I'm going to go down in flames if I'm going to go down. I'm going to do it the way that I want to. The problem with that is, it's cool right now, and you're playing great, and you're doing out. The tougher you are, the more people are going to expect for you to put those W's on the board. You can get away with it for a couple years, but if you don't start winning at a high rate, it falls on deaf ears.
See, what I would disagree with Keyshawn about, any coach, whichever tack he takes, those are the rules of engagement. The only way you get accepted is by victory. So this doesn't make him any more out there, even if you're a coach that's quiet and unassuming. Well, if you're going to be quiet and unassuming, the only way that holds up is if you win. Any type of coach, the only way your way holds up is if you win. So that's it's not a connection to what Joe Judge is doing.
I don't know everything that happened, but based on all the information that has been presented, I think people are looking at the Judge thing through the eyes of Bill Belichick. They got to stop doing that. He's his own person. He's proved that. I don't think he did that to make this his own team. I don't think he did it because that's the way Bill Belichick would have done it. The Giants offensive line was terrible at the beginning of the season. It's actually gotten better. And now we know why. Judge got involved, and I think he realized that something had to be changed, because all he did was, because he was new, and they went out and got Garrett, that he trusted that Garrett was going to bring some of the people he was comfortable with. It didn't work. He wanted to bring in a consultant, and Colombo went nuts because he felt like his job was in jeopardy, which it probably was. So I don't think any kind of move was made to kind of show the world that this is his football team. It was an area of concern. He wanted to improve it. Colombo got defensive. They got into it, and Judge let him go.
And also, it's consistent the way he is, though. He didn't fire him. He didn't want to fire him. He was bringing in somebody to help him, and then Colombo lost his mind, and then Judge said, listen, I don't put up with this nonsense. It's not me in here. It's the team. That's why he sat down Golden Tate, Warrior. So he's just being consistent. If you're not going to be about us, then you're out.
Right.
And Colombo wasn't about us. He just thought about himself.
Right, because he got defensive because somebody was going to come in to help him. He got insulted by it. He confronted Judge, whether it was physical or verbal or whatever. And what's Judge supposed to do? You know, so I don't think it was anything orchestrated, Michael. I think it was all in the moment. This is an area where we need some help here. Colombo wasn't on board. All right, now he's gone.
A little interesting note here, back to the NBA. Jarrett Allen of the Nets was asked about seeing Kevin Durant work out behind the scenes, and Allen said, "I'll just keep it short and simple. KD is back again." That was redundant, I feel, but that's what he said. Like, is he back again?
Yeah, he never went anywhere before.
This is the first time he's been gone. Either way, KD back, according to Jared Allen. Let's hear from Adam Silver on ESPN Radio on how the NBA plans to handle the 2020...
Sylvie.
Let's hear from Sylvie on how he plans to handle the 2021 season with regards to COVID-19.
There's enormous uncertainty around this virus and including how we will proceed this season. So we're doing something we've never done before, which was we're planning to issue the schedule in parts. So we're going to have an initial schedule. As you said, PJ's season starts December 22nd. We're going to issue a schedule through early March, which will then give us a chance to reset. And maybe we'll learn. Maybe it'll turn out that we had to postpone some games. But I've said this before. One thing we all learned in dealing with this virus is that we have to stay incredibly humble. And we learn from other industries, we learn from other sports, and we'll just see as we go, including ultimately and follow the advice we get from public health officials.
Speaking of COVID issues, this is not what you want. Michigan State and Maryland canceled this weekend as Terps coach Mike Locksley has tested positive for COVID-19. Second straight game that my Terps have not played thanks to COVID-19.
I'm sorry, Don, please.
I just like the tone. Silver is, you know, like you said, it's humbling. You gotta respect what this virus can do. You just can't plow ahead, right? So I just like the tone of his voice that the virus is going to dictate how this schedule is going to work itself out.
Speaking of coaches that tested positive for COVID-19, Jim Boeheim of Syracuse, I checked in with him the other night. He actually says he doesn't have any symptoms at all. He said, it's really strange. He said, this is really scary. He said, I tested positive, but I feel great. But he's in isolation like the way he's supposed to. And that's the viciousness of this virus and why some people are led to believe that it's not dangerous, because some people are not affected at all. Some people are not. Well, some people die from it.
I had heard, and again, it's just it's information. Take it with you will, that some people with different blood types are affected differently. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that it just comes down to that, just how arbitrary it is that, you know, one person's in an ICU and another person doesn't have any symptoms at all. But, you know, you don't want to take that chance. And, you know, games are going to be postponed. I didn't like what Frank said about, you know, buildings having 25% capacity. You know, the NBA cannot allow courtside seating during these games.
No.
I hope that doesn't happen.
I mean, it's all according to the area of the country.
I'm doing
rallies where people are pressed up against each other. I mean, it's just what people are willing to accept.
I know, but But if I'm a player, I think I'm well within my right to say, you know, I'm not playing in that game that a guy can be less than 6 feet away from me, because some of these courtside seats are right there.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, I mean, so if it's 25% capacity, Peter, I mean, there better be a little bit of a buffer zone between the fans and the court.
Conor McGregor officially has a fight. UFC 257 main event against Dustin Poirier. What?
Didn't he just
retires. But remember, he can't retire because he still has several fights left on his deal with UFC. So there will be no retiring for him until this deal is done, because he can't do anything else. That's why he ends up going to boxing, because he can't do any other MMA while he's stuck in this deal. So January 23rd against Dustin Poirier. So that's according to Ariel Helwani and Brett Okamoto. So look forward to that. But now,
also Brett, I want to make sure. So,
I don't want to just give Ariel credit, because there's also Brett involved.
Yeah. Okay.
Don.
Yes.
Do you have a pick you'd like to give?
I've thought a lot about this. I can't see Seattle losing three in a row.
Before,
I can't see.
Wouldn't it? They have never lost three in a row under Russell Wilson.
And so I'm really comfortable they're winning. The hook scares me enough to just make it a 1-point play.
Okay.
Well, I think I'm joining Don in that.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Hey, Seattle. For Michael.
Hey, Seattle with a 1.
Mr. Unlimited.
I might even go as high as 3 if it was 2.5.
Right.
But the hook scares me down to 1.
guys.
Now here's your chance, Peter, to make up ground.
No, here's the thing. There's no point because I can just root against both of you and still win a point.
But you'd still have to pick up the point somewhere else. You'd have
but
to
I can
get
do
it.
I have games I like.
Okay.
Because the thing is, I like Arizona. I think they're going to be a tough out tonight. But Don makes a great point. Seattle really losing three straight? Mr. Unlimited? You know what happened 16 years ago today?
What? How many years?
16. So that's 2004.
I'm going to give you a hint. In the moment, okay, and by that I mean the day it happened, which was a Friday, and the couple of days after, it felt like one of the biggest sports stories of all time. In the moment.
2004, November 19th.
It was a Friday.
Oh, was it this? Was it Malice at the Palace?
Oh, yeah. Let's hear it.
Ben Wallace was fouled, and Wallace did. Oh, Wallace, right on our chest. This has potential to be serious if they don't get between. Wallace upset. Players trying to hold each other off. Steven Jackson and Rasheed Wallace trying to be peacemakers. Now Jackson yelling. Wallace still going. You need the coaches in there to get him away. Problem is, if Wallace is ejected, I'm not sure. He'd have to walk past the Pacer bench to go. Now Artest has jumped over the scorer's table and is trying to get down to the bench. Artest is in the stands. Oh, this is awful. Fans are getting involved. Steven Jackson's in the fans. Rasheed Wallace going into the stands. The security trying to somehow restore order. Fans and players are going at it, and the players trying to help each other out. And now another fight's breaking out in front of the Pistons bench. It's a fan on the court. This is very, very dangerous. Fans are throwing cups with liquid in them now onto the court. Ron Artest has a look in his eye that's very scary right now.
I'll tell you what. You know how I feel about Mike Breen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
16 years later, that call by him was absolutely pitch perfect.
It was.
There's nothing that he said that 16 years later, knowing the ramifications of what happened, that you can say, wow, he was off on that. He was on every single
terrific
thing.
His tone, it was exactly right. And not a lot of people know this. Not a lot of people know this, though. But do you know during that moment, he hauled off and actually punched Jeff Van Gundy in the face?
I'm sure he might have wanted to.
No, but it was such an incredibly difficult and scary situation to be in. I mean, he's sitting in the middle of it.
And you can't prepare for something like that.
And for him to say a very dangerous looking Ron Artest, I mean, just picture perfect.
Right. That's why he's got the job.
That will do it for ENN on this Thursday evening.
Bang. I mean, bang. This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers.
London.
Love that place. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. Great people. They sold me Jody's ring. Ah, good times. 1-800-919-3776. Oh, wait a second. I never like to go to break when Andrew sends me a Twitter hit, because something's going on, something that should be addressed, something that should be spoken about.
It better be good now that the buildup is terrific.
I know. Usually he doesn't send me trash, so this is trash. So John Ames is reporting that the Aroldis Chapman ban was reduced from 3 games to 2 at a hearing for the pitch near Brasseau's head.
Well, no, it's not garbage. Could have waited, but it's not garbage.
But that's Michael's fault, not Andrew's.
No, because Andrew never sends me something that's not important. He doesn't send me, like, how's the back of your belly? He doesn't ask me that.
No.
Is that not important, that Chapman's ban was reduced?
It's very important. Don't listen.
It's not like, let's not go to break important, but it's important. Also, it's a joke. It's a joke that they couldn't have this hearing while the season was going on. It's a joke. Oh, we couldn't get the people together. Zoom it, baby. Zoom it. Zoom it dead.
Zoom it dead. Wow.
That's how you get people in the same room now. You zoom them. You zoom them dead. We'll be back with more on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.